Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me in a few, Steve Kolaszewski. Today, we're going to be showing video. This is the ninth undercover video by the Center for Medical Progress as they do an investigation on Planned Parenthood. Listen, it's time. It's time for us to be alert. It's time to be awake. And it's time to see what is going on. This apparently relationship with a particular clinic in San Diego has been happening for now 10 years, and where they're selling these quote-unquote fetal tissues, baby parts, if you will. And this is wrong. You're going to hear testimony, and this is parental guidance suggested. I mean, you have any children in the room, this would be a great time not to have them in the room, because you're going to be hearing testimony, if you will. You're going to be hearing information about how they're trying to salvage body parts for research. Listen, we've been praying for several years now. Dear God, end abortion, send revival. I want you to watch this video so that you can be aware. Watch this.
Oh, we have already a relationship with ADR.
I just had that.
Using them for over 10 years, really a long time.
Whenever we have a smooth portion of liver, we think that's good.
There are no financial benefits.
The absolutely
clinic and our absolutely. And we're happy. Look, we look forward to the facts coming out.
Right. So I'll just take a couple minutes.
Sure.
And it's my assistant.
Hi.
So.
Oh, you're warm. I want to hang on to you.
So I was talking to Mary about what I'm trying to offer to clinics. The procurement service, and she said, "You know all about this."
Oh, we have already a relationship with ADR.
Oh, okay.
So that sort of thing you're doing.
It's a startup, and I'm just—I mean, I want to get in every state. That's my goal.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to connect with medical directors of either private, you know, smaller clinics.
Yeah.
Obviously, a higher volume would be good for that fetal tissue for researchers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's already a service there. I'm thinking with my business head that.
Using them for over 10 years, really a long time. So I just kind of renegotiated the contract. They're doing the I can't remember what they call it, but the big collection for government level collections and things like that. So, and so I'm trying to think of other providers in our town. There.
So I don't want to sound like a salesman here, but I'm going to. So we return a portion of our fees to the clinic. So just to, as a way of thank you for this. Just trying to establish.
Right, get a toe in and make it sound.
Right.
All right. And just kind of renegotiate the contract.
We return a portion of our fees to the clinic.
Because of what we do and because we use fetal tissue, we don't want to. We want to be as politically correct as we can.
Right,
we
I know.
We don't want a whole lot of people coming in and, you know, slapping us because, you're doing this and you're getting all these scientific people here and they're all agreeing, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so.
It's kind of counterintuitive, isn't it, right? Like, normally, like, embryonic stem cell research is, like, the big controversial, like, whatever, and, like,
and you know what the really weird thing is? Embryonic, there's still a lot of controversy about that, you know? But then fetal kind of got lost in the mix. You know, you
was it ever controversial? I mean, I'm young,
never,
so I don't know.
It was never outlawed. Where during the Bush administration, Bush one, it was no federal funding could go
to stem cell research or to embryonic cell research. Uh-huh. The fetal tissue was taken out of that. So we continued to send tissue to people like NIH, uh-huh. even though the government was paying for it. Fetal tissue weren't put in that little box of embryonic because it's different. Now they're trying to make abortion illegal, and that's where we get our tissue. Now they're trying to make abortion illegal, and that's where we get our tissue.
You probably know that Jackie Barbic.
Yes, and
she mentioned to me that you guys, you know, that I should talk to you if I wanted the fetal tissue.
But
I thought you only procured from her clinic. It's not.
No, we procure from her clinic on Saturday because that's the day they do large cases. Now they do induce fetal demise at about 21 weeks, depending on the doctor. Sometimes
because for BLT, I'm wanting like 18 to 22 weeks.
Right. Yes.
Right.
And that would be fine. So if we had 18 or 19 weeks, then that we could get those tubes.
Okay, and it doesn't have digoxin, though.
No,
okay,
it does not.
Yeah.
And we always, we've been in the business long enough, I can tell if it's been ditched or not. You know, I just look at it, I go,
oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it has a smell, it's not right. So
wow.
It's just kind of icky.
But
we also have clinics in San Diego, in Oregon, in Minnesota, and we soon will be starting in New Jersey and Philadelphia.
Oh, wow.
Not a Dr. Gossel's clinic, though.
Right.
The whole point is not to have a live birth.
Okay.
And so the doctors have all, unless it's somebody who has had 6 pregnancies and 6 vaginal deliveries.
And then it just kind of pops
again,
out.
They put lambs in, and she comes in the next morning. And I literally have had women come in, and they'll go in the OR, and they're back out in 3 minutes. And I'm going, what's going on? Oh, yeah, the fetus was already in the vaginal canal whenever we put her in syrups. It just fell out. I'm going, what's going on? Oh, yeah, the fetus was already in the vaginal canal whenever we put her in syrups. It just fell out.
Wow.
So, you know, because if they've had a lot of births, then that's kind of what happens.
Right.
But most of the time, it is not intact. We have other people who would like to get, like the biliary tree area, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think over the past 3 months, we've been able to send 2.
Really?
Because the abdomen is always ripped open.
Wow.
I don't understand.
Are the organs inside intact, like the liver and the...
The organs are reasonably
intact.
Everything will get ripped up. You know, whenever we have a smooth portion of liver, we think that's good.
Because
most of the time it's got... you know, just the instruments they go in to pull, and it's just whatever presents first. And unfortunately, and I don't know why, a lot of times the abdomen presents first, and they just go in and start pulling. And
they don't have my interests in mind.
Or mine. It really pisses me off. Whenever we have a smooth portion of liver, we think that's good.
See, this is the thing, quite honestly, I used to go into this argument. So Linda, ABR is a not-for-profit, and wasn't paying any of the clinics, and was funding places in Hawaii for themselves.
Oh my gosh.
And all sorts of things, but I would go into clinics, and they would say, oh, you're a for-profit, and you want to pay us? But like, and I'm like, so I want to pay you. She doesn't want to.
And she has a place in Hawaii.
And I'm like,
oh my God.
We're trying to give money to you. You know, and they would say, yeah, that is kind of strange, you know? And I said, right, and I pay tax, just to be clear, that actually donates, ends up funding programs back to you. No tax, no payment, tax and payment.
Yeah.
You know, it was like that. And they'd be like, okay, that makes sense, right?
Yeah. We're usually standing right outside the door where they're doing the procedure in the OR, and we're in the lab area.
So
we're just kind of standing around waiting, and then we get the tissue. The doctor makes sure that the termination is complete, and then we have it immediately after.
Immediately after, they just bring it
over.
They
just bring it out. The doctor kind of goes, yeah, and then they usually say, it's done, and so.
Some staff, not that I know so much on the Planned Parenthood side, but I wouldn't be surprised. There are some staff in the past that have been on the payroll with ABR. I mean, like, there's well enough known.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't follow that. So,
like a nursing director or somebody who's literally, like, like a paid employee, but they're like a paid person.
Are they doing procurement, or they're just sitting there holding the fort down?
Like an advisory role. But they're tied enough to...
Yeah, I have someone... Yeah, you can go ahead and...
Yeah, from like an advisory role.
Uh-huh.
But for a long time, there were some clinics that because they had paid advisors that were sitting on boards for these clinics, there were also an advisor to ABR.
Okay.
You were just never going to go anywhere.
Okay.
This is the ninth video, Steve, the ninth video put together by Center for Medical Progress, and they did this undercover. And I'll tell you, these videos have taken a lot of, they got a lot of traction on social media, on YouTube, and the word is getting out. Listen, we're going to unpack this. We're going to go to a break here shortly, but if you understand what is happening, what was being said, a lot of times when they're talking about cases, they're talking about abortions. They're talking about... You know, they flower these words, so you really don't know what is being said. You got to really kind of pay close attention. But she was upset. The lady with ABR, Perrin, I believe her name is, she's upset because the organs are coming out ripped and shredded, and she can't use those. Mm-hmm. The ones that are trying to procure these organs for research, they want whole organs so that they can poke and prod. And we've seen this before in other videos where little hands, Steve.
That's right.
Out of a Petri bowl. Eyeballs. Limbs. Without any regard for life. Not any regard for God. I mean, this is life.
Mm-hmm.
Man, another video. This is the ninth one now. And we're seeing more of the same. Which is, this is a consistent pattern now. After 9 expose videos, if you will, undercover videos, that begin to expose and begin to start sharing what's really happening. In the beginning of what you saw there, you saw her talk about how during the George Bush's administration, there was a law that was passed that they couldn't do embryonic stem cell research, but they were able to bypass that and use the fetal tissue, and that never became an issue. So they kind of went around it. And these are your tax dollars that are going to fund abortion. And you should have a right as a citizen to make that determination. Do you want your tax dollars used by the government that you voted into office to be used for the murder of babies? That is a legitimate question, and one that you should be able to, you should have an answer, and you should be able to enforce your rights. I mean, I don't want my tax dollars going to that, and many people don't want their tax dollars going. She goes on to say, which is really, I thought, just, you know, they make their money, it appears, by harvesting these organs, and then they'll get a return. So there's companies that actually pay for these organs, and then they'll do research, and who knows what else they'll do, and inject them in themselves, and no telling what they're doing with these babies' body parts. But if you heard what she said, we are literally waiting in the other room as this abortion is taking place, and immediately it's coming out of the mother's womb, straight from the doctor's hands, right over to this other room where they're taking these babies' body parts. I mean, this is just horrific. And how much testimony, how many more things are we going to have to see? You know, the woman Perrin with ABR actually says she hates it. She gets upset. She used other words. She gets upset when the body organs come out shredded. It appears that, as she says, that what presents itself to the doctor first is the stomach, and they just go in with instruments. And I don't know if you caught that, begin to rip and pull. Rip and pull. And Steve and I were talking before the break, actually during a break, about animals. Animals today have more rights than the unborn. Animals today have more rights. They're protected. You try killing a cat. You try harming a dog. You try, you know, recently there was this big uproar about this lion that was hunted. And people want to save the whales. Let's save the babies. If all lives matter, and they do, let's protect all life, because all life is important. It's important to God. And it's time that we come to a point now where we start realizing, I mean, we're going to talk about this more, but this child has constitutional rights. Mm-hmm. This baby's supposed to, you know, be alive, not murdered. And we're going to talk more about this, but I want you to see what Student Life put together. They made an interesting video about Planned Parenthood and how Planned Parenthood operates and what they actually charge, Steve, for these abortions. And they kind of, you know, rip the lid over and begin to start exposing where they're located and how many of them are located close to colleges. We're going to share some startling statistics that really begin to unpack who's having these abortions. What are their ages? What are their backgrounds? Because many people think that it's just single, unwed mothers that are having these abortions. Listen, it's not. It's married women. It's women in the church. It's everywhere. And it's time for us to confess this as sin. God will deal with the shedding of innocent blood. You got to watch this. Watch this.
Planned Parenthood says it cares about us, about our health, about protecting our bodies and our rights. They say they provide a lot of women's health services, from contraception to mammograms, even counseling. But what do Planned Parenthood's own numbers say about them? The numbers say Planned Parenthood is big business. A big business that sells one thing, abortions. And they need to sell as many as they can. So they turn us into loyal customers. Here's how they create customers. First, they start with sex ed programs for teens, promoting promiscuity, passing out free condoms, and getting children hooked on sex. By selling us low-quality contraception, they guarantee us as return customers for STD and pregnancy tests. According to Consumer Reports, Planned Parenthood produced the lowest quality condoms of all the brands they tested, which means that they're going to fail more often than any other condom. If we want to avoid faulty condoms, the alternative they offer us is hormonal contraception. The problem is, these contraceptives are really bad for our bodies. The World Health Organization labels them as a type 1 carcinogen, which puts them in the same category as cigarettes and asbestos. So, what happens when, after using their faulty contraception, we inevitably get pregnant? Planned Parenthood knows we will turn to them. This is why 79% of Planned Parenthood facilities are within 5 miles of a college campus, because college campuses are huge client bases for them. When we come back pregnant, they offer counseling, which, according to former Planned Parenthood employees, isn't counseling at all. These employees tell us that Planned Parenthood affiliates have abortion quotas. That's why for every one adoption, Planned Parenthood sells 145 abortions. To meet these abortion quotas, their sales teams push abortion and steer us away from parenting and adoption. Because after all, abortion is Planned Parenthood's product. 92% of their prenatal services are abortions, and it brings in the profit. On average, Planned Parenthood rakes in $150 million from the nearly 334,000 abortions they perform a year. This means that, on average, each of our bodies is worth $451 to them. They get to add this to the money they get from the federal government, which means that in a single year, Planned Parenthood cashes in on women in trouble to the tune of almost $700 million. There are plenty of organizations that care about us, local clinics and pregnancy centers that can actually help. They will tell us about real options and help us do what's best for us, not their bottom line, because Planned Parenthood doesn't care about us. They care about selling their product. They don't care about our rights, and they don't care about real choice. Because let's face it, Planned Parenthood is about abortion, no matter what.
Seventy-nine percent of Planned Parenthood clinics are located within 5 miles of a college campus.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
College campuses. That it's just kind of overwhelming just to think about the fact of, you know, one of the words that she said is like, it's a big business. you know,
$700 million a year business.
Mm-hmm. If you think about it, most businesses, like, they have an awareness of, you know, their market and the placement. It's just evil.
Yeah. 92%, I believe, of the services that they provide have to do with abortion. 92%. And one of the things that's going right now in what you're hearing in Congress and laws and is being discussed, that how they need to be, we need to defund, you know, Planned Parenthood needs to be defunded. And so, you know, people that are supporting Planned Parenthood, from what I understand, are saying, listen, this is not the only thing they provide. They cover a bunch of, you know, prenatal services and
health
all this
services.
Counseling, health services. And I heard this question being asked to Dr. Ben Carson. And Dr. Ben Carson said, well, I thought the Affordable Health Care Act was supposed to take care of all of that. Why do we need Planned Parenthood? Question. Listen, there are other alternatives. There are other alternatives, and we don't need no longer to fund Planned Parenthood. I think the evidence is plain. We're going to take a short break. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about abortion in the view of God. This is what really matters and what this all boils down to. How does God see abortion? What is your worldview? And listen, if you don't have a biblical worldview, these things are not going to make sense to the average person if you're not walking with God. But we're talking to believers, and believers have to have a biblical worldview when it comes to abortion. Students for Life. Wow, what an amazing organization. And it's really encouraging to see these students take a proactive role and to really understand. I mean, today, with social media and technology and all the, you know, smartphones and iPads and all the different ways to get information, you're seeing that a lot of people are getting a real reality of, wait a minute. See, before you didn't have these ultrasounds where you can see 3D. Mm-hmm. There was a baby there, and you could listen to whatever people tell you. And listen, the founder of Planned Parenthood was a woman by the name of Margaret Sanger. This woman was like a supporter of eugenics, like sterilizing African-Americans not to have babies. I mean, this was like, what? This is the founding of this thing is all wrong. I mean, completely wrong, but it's wrong because it's wrong in the eyes of God. We have to answer this question. Since Roe v. Wade, 1973, landmark case, the Supreme Court said it was legal. You have to understand, up before 1973, it was absolutely illegal in this country to actually murder a baby in the womb, to have an abortion. It was illegal. And one court case from a woman who she didn't even have the abortion. Mm-hmm. They used her case, and her name is Norma McCorvey. She's actually given her life to the Lord, and she's now a pro-life supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, no, this was wrong, and I've changed. My views have changed on that.
And without knowing that, you would think that where we are now, it's always been. This is why it's so important to understand it in the context of things that in the last 30 years, only has it been this way.
Yeah, 40 plus years.
40 plus years.
And now the pendulum actually is swinging the other way. There are many states, we saw this in last year, where a lot of states started banning, you know, abortions, you know, after 21 weeks, which is still, you know, I can't believe that a baby was being aborted at 21 weeks to begin with, but now that's stomping. In the state of Florida, Governor Rick Scott signed the House bill, Baby Born Alive bill, that if a baby was born accidentally in a botched abortion, that they have to do everything within their power, the doctors do, to make sure that this baby survives. Take them to the hospital and make sure that this baby lives. So we're seeing a change. I believe the governor in Louisiana, Bobby Jindal, just said we're no longer going to fund Planned Parenthood. So people are awakening. Yeah. They're awakening to this reality. But it's for us, the church. What are we going to do? And I think so many times, Steve, we can fall into a place where we become numb and think, well, that's not happening here. That's not happening, you know, in my circle. What can I do? You know, I can't do anything in Washington. Listen, you're a citizen. You have rights. You can vote. It's just a matter of making sure that you know, we pray, of course, but that we also play our role and as a citizen, and make sure that we empower the right people to be in office to vote the way, you know, this thing about voting, you know, your best interests, your pocketbook. Listen, we vote based upon biblical values. That's right. The way God will want us to vote. Take God with you into the voting booth. You know, how would you vote? You know, Lord, how would you have me to cast his vote? But look at some of these statistics, and we'll make sure that all these are available for you on the torch. But I want to share a statistic with you because it's kind of alarming. A lot of people think that, you know, it's these abortions are happening just across the board with just anybody, and in particularly young, uneducated, poor, even minority women. That's where most of these abortions are taking place. But let me tell you, religion and abortion, those women who had abortions in 2008, this is how they listed their religious affiliation. Roman Catholic, 28.1%. Nun, 27.5%. Other, 7.1%. And Protestant, 37.3%. Of those who actually listed, 37.3% of the women having abortion in 2008, Steve, mm-hmm. were Christians. So this is not an issue. This is an issue that's affecting everybody. And so we have to say, not in my house. You know, this we're not going to do that. And the other thing about, you know, how our abortions are being paid for. Well, it's just the government that's paying for all of these abortions, right? Based upon these statistics, in 2008, private health insurance, 12%. Financial assistance, 13%. We're talking about the payment for abortions. Medicaid, 20%. Out of pocket, Steve? 57% of the abortions that were being done were paid out of pocket. So think about it. There's a lot of people out there that are getting abortions, and it's coming to a point where you know, God's going to judge America. This is shedding of innocent blood, and that blood still cries out. It still speaks. It's crying out. I want you to see what Prager University did when they tried to answer the most important question regarding abortion. Watch this.
Let's talk about one of the most emotionally charged subjects there is, abortion, but in an unemotional way. Also, let's not touch on the question that most preoccupies discussion of the subject, whether abortion should be legal or illegal. The only question here is the moral one. Is ending the life of a human fetus moral? Let's begin with this question. Does the human fetus have any value and any rights? Now, it's a scientific fact that a human fetus is human life. Those who argue that the human fetus has no rights say that a fetus is not a person. But even if you believe that, it doesn't mean the fetus has no intrinsic value or no rights. There are many living beings that are not persons that have both value and rights. Dogs and other animals, for example. And that's moral argument number one. A living being doesn't have to be a person in order to have intrinsic moral value and rights. When challenged with this argument, people usually change the subject to the rights of the mother, meaning the right of a mother to end her fetus's life under any circumstance, for any reason, and at any time in her pregnancy. Is that moral? It is only if we believe that the human fetus has no intrinsic worth. But in most cases, nearly everyone believes that the human fetus has essentially infinite worth and an almost absolute right to live. When a pregnant woman wants to give birth. Then society and its laws regard the fetus as so valuable that if someone were to kill that fetus, that person could be prosecuted for homicide. Only if a pregnant woman doesn't want to give birth do many people regard the fetus as worthless. Now, does that make sense? It doesn't seem to. Either a human fetus has worth or it doesn't. And this is moral argument number two. On what moral grounds does the mother alone decide a fetus's worth? We certainly don't do that with regard to a newborn child. It is society, not the mother or the father, that determines whether a newborn child has worth and a right to live. So the question is, why should that be different before the human being is born? Why does one person, a mother, get to determine whether that being has any right to live? People respond by saying that a woman has the right to control her body. Now, that is entirely correct. The problem here, however, is that the fetus is not her body. It is in her body. It is a separate body. And that's moral argument number three. No one ever asks a pregnant woman, "How's your body?" when asking about the fetus. People ask, "How's the baby?" Moral argument number four. Virtually everyone agrees that the moment the baby comes out of the womb, killing the baby is murder. But deliberately killing it a few months before birth is considered no more morally problematic than extracting a tooth. How does that make sense? And finally, moral argument number five. Aren't there instances in which just about everyone, even among those who are pro-choice, would acknowledge that an abortion might not be moral? For example, would it be moral to abort a female fetus solely because the mother prefers boys to girls, as has happened millions of times in China and elsewhere? And one more example. Let's say science develops a method of determining whether a child in the womb is gay or straight. Would it be moral to kill a gay fetus because the mother didn't want a gay child? People may offer practical reasons not to criminalize all abortions. People may differ about when personhood begins and about the morality of abortion after rape or incest. But with regard to the vast majority of abortions, those of healthy women aborting a healthy fetus, let's be clear. Most of these abortions just aren't moral. Good societies can survive people doing immoral things. But a good society cannot survive if it calls immoral things moral. I'm Dennis Prager.
This is a moral issue. Mm-hmm. This is a moral issue when animals in our country, Steve, mm-hmm. have more rights than the unborn. Mm-hmm. I would say catch a clue. There's a problem with that. Yeah. There's a problem with that. There is something that actually exists, Steve, as the Animal Welfare Act. Do you know that they actually have humane methods of how to slaughter an animal? Humane methods. There are ways that you have to go about slaughtering an animal. Think about that. Mm-hmm. And yet, there's nothing wrong at large with this law that says it's okay to murder babies when they're pulling babies' body parts out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's just like it causes me to consider. It's just like you see how many laws, like just like you're saying, you know, the animals that are quote unquote going extinct, right, or the animals
save
that,
the whales.
That, yeah, and it's just like you're so cognizant of that, and it's been said before. It's just like we're treating animals like humans, and we're treating humans like animals. Mm. It's like where
wow,
is that,
say that
difference?
Again?
We're treating animals like humans, and we're treating humans like animals.
Wow.
And one of the continuation things of what they just talked about is that the timing of if a child is born outside of the mother's womb, it's considered murder.
1 second. One second after that child is delivered and born.
But a few months earlier, then that's considered pro-choice. Mm. And it amazes me. And it's just like if you're looking at a human being and let's say someone gets into a gunfight, whoever that is, it's considered murder whether the event happened in December or whether the event happened in March. So if that's in the case of an adult, why is it different in the case of looking at a child? If it's born in December, but let's say it's still going through the process of development in the mother's womb 6 months earlier, that's still considered murder.
Wow. So Steve, God's perspective. You know, in Luke 1, I believe it's verse 36, when Mary came and she was pregnant with Jesus, she just spoke and was just talking to mm-hmm. Elizabeth. And just by talking to Elizabeth, John the Baptist, Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist, and the word says that he leaped. Yeah. He leaped when he heard Mary's voice. There's a baby in there.
Mm-hmm. Life.
There's life in there. Talk to us about some of the things that you and I were talking about, because reports are there's 50 plus or 70 million. Right now, we've even lost count of how many abortions have been done in the United States since 1973. But share a little bit about that, because I thought it was...
Well, and one of the last segments that we had was talking about allegedly that abortions and the baby's body parts are being shipped all throughout the United States. And it just caused me to just, I was just broken for days. Mm-hmm. And I was just crying out to God and just seeking, you know, what God would say about this. And it reminded me about, you know, Cain and Abel. And Cain killed Abel. And you can look at this in Genesis 4. And the word says, is, you know, God's talking to Cain. He says, you know, where's your brother? And he says, listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Mm. And it just so struck me, because why would God tell Cain to listen unless he first had the ability to hear? And I'm literally undone just thinking about is the fact that why are we not hearing?
Right.
Not only is one innocent blood or one innocent lives of blood worth shed 70 plus million. And I, right now, I don't know the accurate number of what that number is today, but it's more than 70 million. And it's like, we have had relatives, we've had friends, we've had, you know, for some individuals themselves that have lost loved ones. And it's like, there's a grieving process. There's a
brokenness, a shredding.
Yeah. There's a sense of loss. Multiply that by 70 million. And it's like, why are we not hearing? Why are we not broken? And it's like, imagine 70 million footprints that will never step on creation. 70 million hands that will never embrace someone. 70 million pairs of eyes that we're never going to be able to look into. Mm. And it's like, you've gone through those moments of being broken. And it's almost like there isn't really a healing process until you encounter someone that empathizes, that's able to bear with you that burden. And it's like, who is taking in consideration that God's heart is burdened right now?
Yeah.
And if we ourselves are not going to go through a healing process until we have someone that empathizes with us, we have to empathize. And it's like, God, I need your heart for this. And it's like, can you imagine the burden, just the weight of grief that is consuming the heart of God right now? I don't have a grit for that.
Yeah.
And it's like, just to enter into that. And it's like, we have to be broken. We can't just, and that's the hard thing for me is, as I'm telling people and sharing with this, Hey, do you know about this? Do you know that this is happening? And they're like, oh yeah, you know, it's just, yeah, wow.
And they're not looking. I mean, it's one thing, Steve, to look at from your own perspective. But when you think about what God's word says, because that's when you always look at what does God's word say?
Mm-hmm.
This is what Psalms 139 says. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. And how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book, and every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. God knows us. He knew every single baby that was being knitted in their mother's womb, and it was stopped. The plan of God, the desire of God, was stopped. It was aborted. It was crushed. Jeremiah 1:5 says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. I knew you before I, God, formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. And this is what God was speaking to Jeremiah. What would have happened if Jeremiah was aborted? You would have aborted a prophet to the nations. That's what would happen. I look at so many people who had the courage to say, no, I'm going to have my child. I think of Tim Tebow's mother. It was questionable about her life. You know, you were going to, she was, you know, supposed to die. And she said, no, I'm not going to abort my child. I'm going to have my child. And we have Tim Tebow today. I think about Jerry Hill, the wife of Steve Hill, who's gone to be with the Lord, Evangelist Steve Hill. And she, her mother was raped. And yet her mother still, you know, conceded, said, no, this is my baby. I'm going to keep my baby. And now, Jerry Hill is alive because, you know, because her mom didn't abort her. And I think we got to look from God's perspective. God cares about the unborn. And we need to start changing our paradigm, the way we view life. We need to have a biblical worldview. Our worldview colors how we see the world. How we see the world. Some reports are 70 million. Some reports are 57 million, you know, that have been aborted. The point here is that it's millions. It's millions, Stephen. We often talk about the power of one life, that how one life can make a difference. And it's true. Imagine 70 million lives and the difference that 70 million lives can have in our society. And so we've got to get a God's perspective on this. And the other thing we got to look at is that maybe you're watching today. Someone has you know, brought you into the living room, or you're watching this in your office, or maybe with some friends, you know, at a coffee shop, and you're watching today, and you're saying, wow, you know, I've had an abortion. Listen, God can forgive you. You have to confess it as sin. You have to confess it as murder. But God can and desires to forgive you. There's no sin that God cannot forgive. He died for you. He died for your sins. And there, and we have on our website, you go to VFNTV.com, go to links. We have resources. Even if you're pregnant today and you may have considered getting abortion, you don't have to do it. Listen, God can help you. There are people that will get around you and they will support you in the things of this newborn child. That's not an option. The option is to choose life, and God will help you. Go to VFNTV.com, select the resources links, and find some of those resources that will help you. We want to pray with you. Steve, would you pray for our audience today?
Father God, I just ask you, Lord, that you would just give us your heart in all of this that's going on. God, for all of those, Lord, that have walked through an abortion and made that decision, I just speak out the love of Jesus Christ to consume you. And I just pray, Lord, that your heart would just draw this person into just salvation and repentance, Lord, and say, the love of Jesus Christ is bigger than the shame and the condemnation that the enemy is beating you up with. And Lord, I just say, even now, God, that you would end abortion.
Yes.
That you would send revival, God, and that you would just bring out a third great awakening upon this nation and forgive us for the sin that is being done in our land, God.
In Jesus' name,
Lord. Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.